This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with Connected Age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 79. This episode is on the vertical and horizontal dimensions of Christian fellowship in the Lord's Supper and its importance in your spiritual formation. This episode is the eighth in a series devoted to the topic of spiritual formation. In the previous three episodes, I discussed the importance of Christian fellowship in the present, past, and future tenses. There's also a level of Christian fellowship which, at the same time, has a vertical component and a horizontal component. We find that kind of fellowship in the practice of the Lord's table. There's a vertical component since those who participate have fellowship with God in Christ, while in the horizontal direction, also having fellowship with each other. It is clear from the New Testament that the practice of celebrating the Lord's table is to commemorate that supper on the night before Jesus died. It's not a time-bound or culture-bound custom of the early church. Three gospel accounts, those of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, speak of it. In Luke's account, the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples and the church of all generations to do this in remembrance of me. That's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 19. This account is echoed in the commands the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Corinth concerning proper and improper ways to partake of the Lord's table. The elements of the Lord's table are rather simple. Bread and wine, an enduring reminder of human labor put into a harvested source of nourishment. However, the Lord's table goes far beyond simply bread and wine. In Paul's recounting, the Lord Jesus specifically stated that both the partaking of the bread and also of the cup were to be in remembrance of Christ. The themes of remembering and forgetting are found throughout the Bible. One book of the Bible which stresses the idea of remembering is the book of Deuteronomy. Throughout that book, Moses reminded the people of Israel, and us centuries later, to remember who they are and what God did for them. Forgetting carries with it the implication of being disobedient. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, we read the words of Moses to the people of Israel, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Remembering Christ is a key element of our life with him and in him. Our lives are often so busy and characterized by distraction that we need to be reminded of who Christ is and what he has done and continues to do for us. So many things call to us to regard them as not only important, but centrally important. Theologian and author David Wells, in his book Losing Our Virtue, likens the world's influence on us to a constant pounding. He writes that such a pounding is made up of the pressures, demands, and expectations of our modern culture that combine to deliver the message that we must belong to it, not simply in the sense that we must live in it, but rather that we must live by it. Without the discipline of remembering Christ and who we are in him, which includes partaking in the Lord's table, the world around us will demand that we give it our first allegiance and live by its standards. The practice of the Lord's table is considered to be a sacrament by Roman Catholics and Protestants. The Heidelberg Catechism of 1563 states that sacraments are visible holy signs and seals, and that they were instituted by God. A seal in this context confirms something. The Lord's table confirms to us Christ's love for his people as we remember Christ and what he has done for us. So much theology has developed over the centuries concerning the Lord's table. There are a range of beliefs about the bread and the wine which is used in the sacrament. My purpose here is not to provide a lesson on all of those theologies. Time would not permit a fair discussion of all these points in a podcast episode of this length. What can be stated fairly is that the celebration of the Lord's table not only brings us to a remembrance of Christ, but an actual encounter with him as well. As Americans, we could have a remembrance of our first president, George Washington, in a holiday such as President's Day. However, No American in the early 21st century believes that he or she will actually encounter George Washington during such a time of remembrance. That is not the case with Christ. It has been a part of Christian theology from the very beginning that believers have a union, a fellowship with each other, because they have union and fellowship with Christ. This is reflected in the prayers of the early worship of Christian believers. We see this in a book called the Didache, translated as the Teaching. It is the earliest known piece of Christian literature outside the New Testament, dating back to around 100 AD. Listen to the vivid imagery of grain being made into a single loaf. We find in the Didache the following prayer. Even as this broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, for yours is the power and the glory through Jesus Christ forever. In our discussions about the practices behind Christian spiritual formation, we have seen those practices which can be done individually, such as prayer by oneself, or in a community setting, such as prayer within the context of a group. Some practices mentioned in the literature of spiritual formation can only be practiced individually, such as solitude. In the celebration of the Lord's table, we have a practice that is meant to be participated in a corporate manner. The Lord's table, by its very definition, is not meant to be a merely solitary practice. May I please encourage you, if you are a believer in Christ, to be shaped by this form of vertical and horizontal fellowship. Please take your need for this seriously as you join your fellow believers to become one loaf. There have been a variety of ways and places in which the Lord's table has been celebrated in the history of the church. This is often done in a formal church setting, sometimes in a small chapel or a home. Because of the great value attached to the Lord's table, it has been a common practice to bring the bread and wine of the Lord's table to those who might not have access to it otherwise, such as those who are ill or cannot leave their homes. It is a blessed irony that under such circumstances, those who gather to do this in remembrance of Christ are comforted that fellow believers have remembered them. Perhaps one of the most interesting accounts of a communion service happened back in the summer of 1969 at Webster Presbyterian Church, just outside of Houston. A special communion, that is another name for the Lord's table, a special communion service was being held. One of the members was away on a journey. The member who was traveling and wasn't in the church for the service had arranged with Webster Presbyterian to partake of the bread and wine of the Lord's table during the same hour in which they were meeting. While separated by a distance, it was a gesture of fellowship between the traveling member and his church to do this at the same time. What makes this account so unusual is not so much that a member wasn't present in church during the service. It was where that traveler was when he took part in the Lord's table. He wasn't just out of the city or even out of the country. He wasn't even on the same planet. What I've just described is what Edwin Aldrin, perhaps better known as Buzz Aldrin, did shortly after his spacecraft landed on the surface of the moon on July 20th, 1969. Aldrin, the second human to walk on the moon, prearranged with his church to have the service at the same hour that he would land on the moon. Aldrin wrote about this years later. Listen to how the first human to participate in the Lord's table, off-planet, described the experience. I opened the little plastic packages which contained bread and wine. I poured the wine into the chalice, that is a cup, our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine curled slowly and gracefully up the side of the cup. It was interesting to think that the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there were communion elements. And so, just before I partook of the elements, I read the words which I had chosen to indicate our trust that as man probes into space, we are in fact acting in Christ. I sensed especially strongly my unity with our church back home and with the church everywhere. I read, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me." Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. Buzz Aldrin's choice of a scripture verse for the event was a great one. It is the reminder of our being linked together with Christ and with each other in living relationship. A branch cut off from a vine might have delusions of its being independent. Rather, it suffers as a branch that is dead. In our next episode, we will explore ways in which the practices of spiritual formation can be combined and the great value of doing so. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.